Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Welcome to the Dancecast episode 5. Hey Charles, do you remember the time when I taught dance at Lockhart for incarcerated women?
Yeah, no, I remember that very distinctly. You came home a changed woman.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing experience. So, inspired by that experience, I decided to talk to people who actually have gone to teach in several different prisons or for a longer time. And it was really interesting. Do you want to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so in this first episode, I talked to Becky Lamb, who is a dancer, massage therapist, writer and poet, and a woke self-expression junkie. Being part of Austin's body shift community, writing poetry, creating fused art classworks, and writing books for massage therapists bring deep joy to her. Her favorite day of the month is when she teaches creative movement to women in prison. A native New Yorker, she lives in Austin, Texas, enjoying the wonders of the Southwest. I also talked to Barbara, and together with Peggy, there was also Barbara Abbott, who has been involved in theater since high school and has been active writing, directing, and performing since then. She has performed in shows at Brooklyn College, Northwestern University, and at St. John's University. Teaching is and has always been a priority and passion of hers. She taught theater and broadcasting at several magnet schools in New York City, including Peach Channel, Edward R. Murrow, and Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis High School, and was an adjunct professor of educational video at Columbia Teachers College. In addition to this, she taught and directed for the American Conservatory Theater Sound Conservatory in San Francisco. Barbara's biggest passion lies in the Irish theater, which she studied with Alan Simpson, artistic director of the Abbey Players in Dublin. Before moving to Austin, she was the artistic director of the Schoharie Creek Players in the Northern Catskills of New York, where she produced, directed, and performed in several classics of world theater. Peggy and Barbara both work with incarcerated women with an organization called Truth Be Told. And Peggy, you've been with them for a long time, right?
Right. So my name is Peggy Lamb, and I've been with Truth Be Told, which is an Austin-based all-volunteer organization that works with incarcerated women. We have quite a number of programs in, I think it's 5 units now. We're in the Hilltop unit and the Lane Murray unit in Gatesville. We started out in Lockhart. The unit in Lockhart, 15 years ago. Nathalie Sorrell, Carol Wade, and Suzanne Armistead are the 3 co-founders of our organization.
And is that 15 years ago?
That's how 15 old? Years. Okay. Truth Be Told has been working within the prison system, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, for 15 years now. And we have a wide variety of program in Lockhart, Lane Murray, the Hilltop Unit, Del Valle Jail, and the Bryan Federal Camp. And I was the one of the programs we have is our series of classes called Talk to Me. And we have a Talk to Me movement class, a Talk to Me speaking class, and a Talk to Me writing class. And I am a dancer, and I was brought in to teach the Talk to Me movement class and fell in love with it. And that was 10 years ago, so haven't left since then.
That's great. And Barbara, how did you get involved?
Well, actually, through Peggy. Peggy also, and I'm going to give her a little pitch, she does a program called Exploring Creativity.
Oh, inside, right?
In the prisons with the women, primarily at Hilltop Prison, sometimes at Lockhart. And she brings artists to work with the women for a 2-hour workshop. And I had told Peggy that I had a theater background, and I had been a theater director and teacher and coach in New York, and that I loved working with youth particularly, but I would be interested in working with the women. I was a little nervous about that idea. And she brought me in to do an exploring creativity based on improv and theater games. Mm. And I went and I loved it and I had so much fun and the women were so open and I felt we all were gaining from the experience. Myself as the facilitator was, you know, just dealing with the women or experiencing and working with women. And asked Peggy, do you have other programs? Are there programs for youth? What are the other possibilities? So when an opportunity came up to train with Nathalie Sorrell, who created the program, in one of the Talk to Me speaking class, and since that really was more my background, I trained with Nathalie to do that. And so that's been about a year and a half, 2 years.
Oh, wow. So
it's been great.
Peggy also took me to teach in exploring creativity class, and I totally got hooked up. So I understand you 100% right there. I want to go back constantly. Like, I want that. I just want to go back and back and back. I can't even quite explain what it is. Mm-hmm. Can you explain, Peggy? You've been there for so long. What it is that you want?
I think that there is a calling that one experiences. Everybody I know that has stayed with volunteer work within the prison system, I think would view it as a calling. I think that's the best word that I know to describe it. It's not for everyone, but they are women. I mean, truth be told, only works with the women.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a population that is growing in Texas, unfortunately, by leaps and bounds. When you are incarcerated as a male, typically most men may have families, wives, children. Women are relational, so they will get visitation. The families will visit. When a woman is incarcerated, that doesn't happen very much. Because the mother is now in jail, the daughter is now in jail. So they are a neglected and deeply wounded population that have a lot of potential. So to answer your question, I think all of us can say we just got hooked and we never left. And so what I do now is I'm the coordinator of this Exploring Creativity. I no longer teach the Talk to Me movement class, and I have, I think, the best job, in truth be told, because I get to meet all these great artists. And I want to talk about that as what I believe and what Truth Be Told believes in terms of why we bring art into prison. Unfortunately, in the Texas prisons, there's not a lot of art programs, and we have
seen... So most of them are faith-based.
Most of them are faith-based, and
This is not.
No. We bring definitely a sense of spirituality mm-hmm. into our curriculums, but it is not a faith-based program. So, exploring creativity. What the co-founders saw when they were teaching their Talk to Me classes is that the women tell the story of what brought them to prison, and they were getting re-traumatized. And we wanted to offer tools to help the women, more tools to help the women deal with whatever trauma might be coming up. We are all of us, the three co-founders, are a great believer in the power of art.
Mm.
Art is ways we make sense of our own lives. Art is ways that we discover different things about ourselves that we didn't know we had.
Strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly. And what you can express, since you're a movement person, I'm a movement person, we can express, I always call it the wordless world of movement, and the wisdom, the cellular wisdom and the knowledge that comes through our bodies is things we don't have words for.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you work with words particularly, mm-hmm. right? So when you go and you start your class, what is your first task that you start with?
Well, just to go back a little bit in terms of Nathalie, who originally created the program, was a Toastmaster. And when she first went into Lockhart to present an idea to work with the ladies in the prison, the incarcerated ladies, the warden actually wanted a program where the women would be trained in a way in which to share their stories with youth offenders. So that was the original concept.
Oh, okay.
And Nathalie created a program to encourage the women, yes, like Peggy was saying, to tell their stories in a way in which, and it's evolved, in a way in which they tell their stories so that they heal, and in healing themselves, they can heal others. It never worked out because of laws and stipulations for incarcerated women to speak to the youth offenders. However, the program then developed into other areas, movement and writing.
Hmm.
My background, then to go back to your question, my background is in theater and also speech and in public speaking. And then I became a Toastmaster. So I do have those skills that I can share. And when I trained with Nathalie, the women first tell their stories, and the stipulation is you're not telling the details of what you did. You're not telling your crime. You're sharing what are those benchmarks, transition moments, choices, what led you to be incarcerated. Like, and you create a timeline, and you look at and pick out three moments where I could have done this, but I did this. I could have done that, but I did this. Mm. So you see those moments where there were crossroads.
Mm.
And then in looking at that, you start to look at, or the women look at, what are the patterns that led to that? And it really does become very liberating, because they start to see, oh, I chose that, or I have control over that, or I moved in that direction when I could have moved in another direction. And you start to see a lot of aha moments for the ladies. And then once they do that, then the next portion of the series is they bring in a Toastmaster. And that actually was my first experience in the class with the ladies, was as a Toastmaster. You come in and they do their speech a second time, but this time the Toastmaster gives them an evaluation. They call it the shining up, you know, kind of perfecting, crafting their presentation. And that's incredible. And the women are such, I don't know if I want to use it, but they're like sponges to perfect what they're doing in a way in which not only do they grow, but they share their story in a way that they see it does have impact. And then from that, the group chooses three women who will then present their stories to an invited audience, and I know you came as an invited audience.
I did. Yeah,
and got the benefit of that.
Yeah,
and you saw, you know, where they take that initial looking at their story, looking at their lifeline, looking at their choices, to the moment where they really do present to maybe 70 people in a crowd.
Yeah, no, it was something else. It was an experience. So Peggy, when you started, did you have some sort of frame that you also went and taught? So how did you start with the movement?
Speak
to me movement.
Yeah, we call it talk to me movement.
Talk to me movement.
And at that time, that was, 10 years ago, there was no curriculum. So me and a friend created the curriculum that's still in use today. And so the main tool that we use is authentic movement.
Okay.
So in the Talk to Me movement class, the women are still asked to write the story of their lives. We, of course, start any class with a lot of warm-up stuff, your typical dance warm-up, theater warm-ups, anything to create community. And I personally was always amazed at how these women who had never had anything like, most of them had never had anything like modern dance or improvisation or authentic movement, how they took to it. It was always mind-blowing and beautiful. And so the basic curriculum was they would write their story of their lives, tell it verbally, and then they could either choose to express it through authentic movement or have a classmate express it. By the time we would get to that pivotal point within the curriculum, we would have done many, many different kinds of exercises to introduce authentic movement and have them experience it. Telling your story or doing anything, I think, for a mover, the body doesn't lie. The body can express so much what we can't say in words. And I saw women expressing things in so raw and so beautiful and so creative. And we actually have one on one of our fundraising videos, a woman named Brandy, who is just amazing. So it was art, and I am not a dance therapist, I am not a movement therapist, and I don't pretend to be. I just offer them a space to express what they need, what needs to be expressed. We would also choreograph pieces for graduation, and it would be a collaborative event, and we would sometimes do two or three pieces for the graduation. So that was always a lot of fun when we got to that part of the class. So it's a very powerful class, and it's definitely for the more extroverted. We have Carol Wade, who is one of our co-founders, created the Talk to Me writing class, which is more for the introvert, and then the speaking and movement were more for an extroverted kind of person. So anyway, I hope I explained.
Yeah, no, that's, and I know, I think you were telling me when we were going to the, to Lockhart, right? That's where we went.
We went to Hilltop.
When we were driving to Hilltop, I think you were telling me that you used some of the ensemble thinking, like you use like dance improvisation scores.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you don't like pick and choose, oh, because I'm going here and I'm going to just do this. You're really just teaching how you would teach anywhere.
Exactly. And I think that's what everybody's really worried about. Oh my God, we're going to prison. I'm going to have to change the way I think. And I think you had a beautiful experience. You did such a beautiful class, Silva.
Thank you.
You kept saying, oh, these are just like
I definitely had the same experience being like, whoa, like there was no hesitation about movement and moving and creating movement. There was actually just a lot of joy in it. And it was like amazing class. The energy and the spirit made the place sort of disappear because I didn't even think I was inside a prison. I didn't even think I was teaching inmates or incarcerated women. So there is a special power and almost like a hunger and a need for this kind of expression.
There is. And unfortunately, as I said, Texas does not have that many art-based programs within its system. I certainly don't know all the volunteer opportunities in Texas. There's a huge prison system here, but around the country, there's a lot of different art-based programs, theater programs. You know, there was a Shakespeare, I forget, something on NPR, Shakespeare.
In upstate New York.
So I'm going to talk. Next episode is with a woman, Amy Legendre. I'm probably not saying her name right, but she has been in the male prison teaching dance for quite a while. So that's my next episode in upstate New York. So maybe it's a similar, now I don't remember, but everybody got to listen the next episode. She will be there talking about her work with incarcerated men.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share then also Peggy has pushed the envelope of not just bringing in artists to do programs and classes. And you've seen, you know, it's just like doing a regular class.
Yeah.
But also we do a program called Miracles in Human Form and it's a sort of an alternative to faith-based programs at Christmas time, more in line with, you know, there are miracles in many ways in many of our lives.
Oh, wow.
And performers, actual professional performers, are brought in to do a show at Christmas at Lockhart, Hilltop, and Lane Murray and Brian. Federal Camp. And last year, Peggy, and I'll let her talk about it, but I just want to talk about it as being in the audience and experiencing it. Peggy went up earlier when we were at the Hilltop Prison and worked with, how many, 20 women almost?
No, there was nine women
and created a dance piece with music and for the first time, the women actually performed with the professionals.
Oh, okay.
And it was moving, stunning, heartwarming, gut-wrenching. I mean, it's like on it. People were in tears.
Yeah, I mean, you're now having little tears in my eyes.
The women, they were performing for their peers, for almost 200 of their peers.
Oh, wow.
For seeing them for the first time, it was incredible. So now we're petitioning to do that again at Lockhart, which will be the first time where the women will get to perform a dance for their peers with professionals at Christmas.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I'll let Becky
doing it. Hopefully I'll get permission to do it again this year at Hilltop. I talked to them yesterday. So this was a dream of mine for years to create a performance piece for the women. And I just, you know, I kept thinking it wasn't doable. Gatesville is a long drive from Austin. It's almost a 2-hour drive. And anyway, I just realized that I could do it, and we made it happen thanks to the beautiful Miss Ann Mooney, who is retired, but she was head of the program that I volunteer at the Hilltop Unit. And so I spent 2 days with the score, an improvisational score, just like you do, and we developed material through movement, and I also had them do some writing exercises and develop gestures based on some of their writing exercises, and then we took those gestures and created more movement material from them. So there was a basic score I was working with, and we did it in 2 days.
Wow.
And we did it the first year. They performed just for their dorm. Like I said, this is a special program that I volunteer in. It is for female sex offenders. And so they performed for the rest of their dorm because I only wanted to work with about 8 women. And last year, we performed for the whole prison with the rest of Truth Be Told, Miracles in Human Form. It was a big deal, and it was an amazing process. They were beautiful.
So these 9 women got up in front of every entire prison.
Yes, they did.
And they performed a dance choreography.
That's right.
Wow.
Performance art.
Yeah, there you go.
Some spoken word in it.
Oh, yeah, performance art, yeah.
So, and what, dance? I mean, these are not trained dancers, you know?
Yeah.
They're mixed ability dancers.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
But they were beautiful.
Yeah.
They were beautiful. They worked so hard. We did it in 6 hours.
Wow.
2 rehearsals of 3 hours.
So, how long do you work with the same women? How long is your, like, do you work, like, can you work 10 years? Have you worked 10, like, with somebody being sentenced for a longer sentence? Have you worked with the same women for 10 years? Like, is that...
It depends on the unit, but I don't... Yes and no. So I'm going to... Probably that would happen more at the Lane Murray unit.
Okay.
So let me just divide the units up.
Uh-huh.
Lockhart is more of a minimum security facility. The women generally have lighter sentences there. I have worked with people who came back to my class, you know, for 4 years or so. Probably not 10, but Carol Wade teaches the Talk to Me writing class in the Lane Murray unit. That is a medium security prison up in Gatesville. The women have long sentences there. So we haven't been up there 10 years yet, but it's totally possible that
you would work with the same women.
The same women might come through the class. I don't know how she would handle that, though, because we need to make room for new women, too. I don't think that's an issue that's come up yet, but I can see the possibility. Because the women there, some of them are doing 50 years, 75 years. Yeah.
And there are opportunities when the women are released to come back and participate in our program. So we're doing a fundraiser next week, and we actually have 3 women who are graduates from different time periods, one from almost 15 years ago, one from 5 years ago, and one from 3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And they're all going to be a part of, one is singing, two are speaking, and one is doing a whole presentation. With the possibility of a slideshow. So the women do participate, but then they have the opportunity to participate once they're released.
Yeah, that was actually my other question. Is there a part of the program where these women can keep having support from this, or do you give out resources where to find it after you get released? Is there any sort of follow up after you get released?
We don't really have the resources for that. Mm-hmm. Carol, bless her heart, is really our whole Beyond Bars program. What we offer is support. We have a Facebook group, and then weekly support calls. When a woman is released, if they will contact our office, Carol sends them a welcome home packet,
okay,
which has a couple of things in it, like a bracelet and some other things. And so there are opportunities, but basically we're more support,
mm-hmm,
than anything else. We don't have money to help with job training or anything like that. But there are state-run agencies that have that, and mm-hmm, others, social service agencies. It's rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough being a woman with a felony conviction on your record. It's hard to find housing. It's hard to find a job. If you're on parole, you have to pay fees. You can get let out $50, have no place to live, and you have to pay parole fees every month, and you have a car, an apartment. People don't want to rent to people who with felony records. It's very, very tough.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like if there would be a place to keep on doing at least the art part. You know, this podcast is also about like how dance, especially dance, I feel like has been so long about this elitist thing that only far few and very rare people can actually get there. But I feel like a theater has been in the communities much longer, like it has a history of that being in there much longer. So it would be wonderful to see art in Austin and surrounding areas that is accessible, economically accessible, so that people can go and continue with this art-based healing. Mm-hmm.
Everybody who wants to
partner and help, and let's do it.
It's my dream, of course. I've always wanted to take the women who live in the Austin area and create a performance piece and perform it. That hasn't happened yet. There's some logistical things that really get in the way, but maybe someday it will happen. But I do want to add, you know, what are the benefits of art? And I can tell you, I mean, first went up to offering this exploring creativity to these women in this sex offense treatment program. The woman who was in charge of that program, who is the social worker and psychotherapist who created it, said to me immediately what a difference it made in her job and in the community. These women live in a really tight space. There's not one shred of privacy. Even going to the bathroom, you don't have any privacy. So them getting along is really important. So what she says has said to me over and over and over in the 5 years that I've been doing this, is that every time there's an exploring creativity, she sees an improvement and they're calmer, they're more grounded, and they get along better. And that is whatever art form that we use, whether yesterday I was up there with a visual artist, or it's a movement class, or a theater-based class, or a writing class. There is a change in state, meaning change in emotional and mental state in all of the women once they've had 2 hours of art.
Mm. Yeah, and how often do they get the art?
Well, I'm in once a month for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it, and they really look forward to it. In a general population, not much, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
In this sex offender treatment program, they have visual art supplies like paints and everything, so they can get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
And Barbara, do you also go once a month?
The Talk to Me classes are 8-week classes.
So you go every day?
You go once a week.
Once a week. Okay, and for
then,
8 weeks.
And then to go back to the Exploring Creativity, mm-hmm. Anne Mooney, who is just a gifted human being, asked Peggy to if there was a possibility of creating a program and on a like a level of Exploring Creativity once a month for youth offenders.
Mm.
So we're now actually in the process of looking at ways in which the program that Peggy has created can be used in a way in which it would support the youth offenders. It's a little bit different, and maybe we should, because in our programs, in Truth Be Told, the women elect, or they choose, or they ask to be a part of our program. Whereas with the youth offenders, there are actually only 7 youth offenders, according to Anne Mooney, in all of Texas. So that means these young women under 18 have been tried as adults. So here they are young, but they're in with an adult population. And the prison is not realistically set up for them. So that it really is a level of that exploration of what would it be to give these young women also the opportunity that the women in the, you know, who participate in Truth Be Told might have. We've gone up there several times now with different ideas, maybe some art, maybe some theater, maybe some speaking, some journaling. We've, you know, practiced, or we're experimenting with what would be appealing to them, but also relevant. And from my experience of observing Peggy and the impact that the movement has had, so just kind of a funny little sidebar, you know, and how much the women get out of it, we thought that that would be the one area that would be really powerful. Dance.
Yeah.
Movement. How exciting. And when we presented that to the women, the young girls, or the youth offenders, they were like, no, they don't want to do that. So
the youth offenders said it themselves. They're like, no.
Yeah, and I think it's more of their own reticence to explore or step out, or, you know, step into areas that are not their comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe probably just those 7, because they've been released. Most of them have been released into the general population now. So a whole other crew.
Right, a whole other crew. So we know, like as if we know better, but maybe not. But we know, you know, how powerful dance can be, and how fun, and how liberating and freeing. So we're actually excited about, you know, the possibility of doing that.
Yeah, and maybe one of that initial no also comes from the fact that when you say dance, you think of a perfect form, or you think of a certain type of body, or you think of a certain type of movement immediately, because that's how it has been for so long. And like,
good point.
Maybe they think their body is not a dancer body. Yes. And like, how can you even ask? Like that kind of, because there is that picture of perfect. There is that idea of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think dance is just a very loaded word,
mm-hmm.
When you think about it, presenting it to a non-dancer or
exactly
people who do not consider themselves as dancers.
So. I always say, you see these polls, and people's main fear is public speaking. I was like, no, dance.
You know what? I actually always say, I'm always like, I hate speaking, but may I dance my story to you? Like, whenever you're in a conference or anywhere, and you have to go around, and, you know, your palms are sweating, because, you know, you got to explain about your work and yourself, and I'm like, no, can I just dance it for you all? I hate speaking. So yes, I'm there with you, definitely with that. So you guys both already mentioned some very strong moments that come to you. But is there any personal stories that you want to share that really shook you or took you or changed you?
The first thing that comes to my mind was in my early days in the prison, was the realization that they are just like me and I am just like them. And I expected them to be different on some level. And I realized that it could be me. It could have been me so easily. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been sober a long time. I could have been easily have killed somebody drunk driving once. So it just circumstances of birth. But I think that's the biggest thing. They and I are the same.
Yeah. Wow, it's powerful.
And one of the most powerful moments I saw was actually participating or witnessing in a Speak to Me movement class, and a woman who was looked about in her 60s. She was wizened and kind of held herself, you know, decrepitly. And she did her story, and when she moved her story, it was as if years of pain, hurt, anguish, regret, whatever might have been held in her body was released. And she ended that movement as if she were like 35. Mm-hmm. It was like watching a physical transformation of somebody releasing years of hurt in a process. It was amazing. It was incredible.
I love how you, as a theater person and a writer, you have so many of these powerful moments with movement. I love it.
I did a lot of musical theater.
Well, there you go. You know the power of movement. So where is Truth Be Told heading now? You're trying to start this new program with the youth.
Truth Be Told is flourishing. Again, I mean, we've gone from just being in Lockhart to now 5 units. And I think they're doing a trial program in Florida, but I'm not sure. Do you know anything about that? No?
Not really.
Okay, so I don't know if that's going or not. And we are thriving. Most of our volunteers have been with us a very long time. And there was a new company that took over the Lockhart unit, and I think that's a big improvement.
Oh, prison, you mean like the prison?
Lockhart is a privately run prison, mm-hmm. And so there was a change in ownership, and I think they've done a really good job, and so we're getting much bigger classes. Anyway, we're really thriving as an organization, and we are a bunch of women and men who love women in prison.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. I love this work, and you both obviously love what you do. And it was great to chat up with you about this. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to chat with you, too.